Welcome to Galcom's Mission Compass podcast. To learn more about Galcom and our guests today, visit galcom.org.
She shared with the whole group, she said after the first day, her husband was so impacted by the topic on marriage that he went home and he asked her, he said, "I really think it would be great if we could come together tomorrow so we can learn together as a husband and wife." That is unheard of in South Sudan culture.
Hello, friend. Welcome to Galcom's Mission Compass, your guide to the Great Commission. I'm Ron Harris. On today's Mission Compass, we want to update you on what Galcom is doing around the world and also connect with a ministry partner who, like Galcom, is making waves. Where do you fit in the Great Commission? Well, keep listening. We may have an answer for you. And here's your host, Galcom's Tim Whitehead.
Thank you, Ron. Really excited about our program today. Andrew Brown of Every Village is going to be sharing about our partnership in South Sudan. Bonnie Salas is going to be sharing the Reset Devotional and some testimonies of the work of Guidelines International. But a few weeks ago, I asked you to pray for us, specifically for Francis Ndroge and for Bob Gaines as they traveled to Tanzania to do some upgrades, repairs, some site visits. And I promised that once they got back, I'd get Francis to give us a full report. So Francis joins us now. Thank you so much, Francis, for being with us again here on the Mission Compass.
Thank you. Thank you, Tim, for having me.
So did our prayers work? Were you safe? Were you successful in the trip?
Yes, we are very grateful and thankful for your prayers. We had a very successful trip starting from Kenya to Tanzania. It went as planned. Actually, we were able to accomplish everything that we intended to do. Actually, we just beat our schedule with only some few hours. So we were strictly and tightly on a schedule. And we are very thankful that we also drove all those kilometers. Nobody was hurt, no incident, no puncture. And we are very grateful for your prayers.
Yeah, we were just talking off air a little bit. And actually, Francis's van broke down once they got home. And we just saw God's hand through the trip while he was away, that they kept them safe. We're always working with partners on the ground. We have about 5 or 6 different pastors that we're working with in Tanzania, stations that we've either built or repaired or upgraded. And when Francis was there in Tanzania in the spring, noticed some issues. And so share with us a little bit about how you were able to help two ministries kind of collaborate with equipment to keep them both on the air and to reach more people with the gospel.
Well, it's within Galcom's inventory that they know individual radio station has what equipment. And so in our travel in the past year, we realized that one radio has some equipment that can be beneficial to another radio, which they are not using, and which the other radio actually needs. So in this one case, we were swapping some STL link. We have a station that constantly has a problem with STL link because of lightning strike and all that. And another station, because they are moving to a new tower within their property, they'll not be in need of the STL link. And so we are borrowing the STL link from one radio and going to gift another radio so that the two radio stations kind of have a symbiotic benefit from each other. And it's one thing that we also want to encourage, because when we have this network of radio stations, they can share a lot of equipment. They can also share a lot of resources and technical know-how among us themselves. So it's amazing how God helped us to solve the problem between the two radio stations by collaborating.
Yeah, we often talk that radio is the most efficient way to share the gospel. One person with the right equipment can reach tens of thousands. And I really appreciate Francis and our team here trying to be efficient in all sorts of ways, being good stewards. You know, friends, you listening have been praying for us, you've given, and we want to make sure that equipment is being used optimally to get the gospel out. So the one station, Francis, that is moving their tower, I know you poured concrete, you poured a base. Do we need to return again to put up that tower?
Yes, actually, as a matter of fact, we were contemplating of maybe going there twice still, because we have one situation where we'll go and build the tower on the ground. When we are getting the tower on the ground, we get to leave some skills behind, because the people are going to learn how to do it, to weld the measurement and all that. And we'll also paint the tower locally, because we don't have a galvanizing plant. And that is one part of the project. If we are able to do that, then we'll also go back again to mount the tower. This is the time that we'll erect the towers and also transfer the antennas from the old tower that the radio is currently renting in, and we'll move the antennas to the new tower. So we are hoping to go there maybe twice in the coming year.
I love what you said about doing the work there, teaching people about the welding of a tower, transferring the skills. You and I are part of a team going to Tanzania in April for a full 3-day conference. And now, fortunately, you're there to teach the technical side. I'm going to be teaching a little bit about leadership and about leading a ministry. But I'm really excited to be serving alongside with you. And again, transferring knowledge so those local pastors, the local teams can do the work. Now, before I let you go, so friends, be praying for everything to come together in April, that all of these, we have 6 stations in Tanzania we're inviting, and some others from Burundi, Rwanda, and other places to come and learn how to be self-sustaining in their ministry. But in your travels, even before you left Kenya on your way to Tanzania, you had a providential encounter on the side of the road with some Moran people. Tell us a little bit about the Moran and that interaction.
Well, among the people we reach in Kenya with Super FM in Samburu County, Samburu, natively, they are nomadic, semi-nomadic pastoralists. They move from place to place in search of pastures. And it's one of the few, I would say, communities in the whole world that have maintained their culture. So why they maintain their culture is because they are so much away from civilization and detached from the day-to-day modern civilization. And in their age set, they have a group of young men who have just been circumcised or initiated until they are age 25. This group of people are called Morans. And Morans, they live in the wild. They totally now get from their hearts and they live in the forest. Their main role is to protect the community against aggression, but also to go and attack our communities and do raids and come back with cows. So that's how they live. Normally, you'll always find them very colorful because they wear some clothes to cover their chest and some part of their body. We call that a shuka. It's a special cloth that is worn or draped over the shoulders around the waist. And you'll also see them with a lot of bearded jewelry. They have a lot of jewelry. They are very colorful indeed. And their clothes function as it's a blend of functionality and cultural expression. And something that is unique with the Morans is that you'll always see them in pairs. You never see a Moran walking alone. And so they live in a community, in a communal way. In the fields, they will eat together, sleep together, and go raid together. So in their ears, they are Morans. They'll always be together. And they're so intertwined such that legend has it that they don't find even offense in sharing. To some extent, they will also even share their wives. So they are very close together that you cannot separate them. And you'll always see them in pairs. So in our encounters, we encountered 2 Morans and we spoke with them. We talked to them about the radios. And it's amazing that they could read and write. So they went to school, but still went back to be Morans. That's how much they love their culture. So we spoke with them and we talked to them about the radio. And it was very interesting to them when we pressed a button and they could hear the language, someone speaking inside the radio with their own language. And so both of them laughed and, you know, they could not imagine this little thing can speak their language. So it's very amazing to them. And it's amazing how the radio now can be very impactful to this community because, one, they live together. So these are people who can share one small unit in a big number, like maybe a group of 10, because they always live together. They are always in the world together. And they don't have electricity at the same time in the forest. So the solar radio comes in handy. They can charge it and share it among themselves. So you get to reach more people with this communal way of living. And guess what? If one gets to learn a new thing, because they're so much united, he gets to share the new thing with their fellow colleagues. So you'll always find, you'll hear from the pastors that one Moran got saved and an entire community got saved because they will believe what one of them has believed. So if one of them gets to believe, chances are very high that a good bunch of them are also going to believe because they believe in each other so much and they don't believe that one can even have the audacity to lie.
Wow. So friends, be praying. Super FM in the Sumbura area is reaching there. Please pray we can get more radios to them and have a great impact amongst the Moran people. This is tremendous news. Always love catching up with you, Francis, right there on the front lines, doing the repairs, meeting people, handing out the radios. God bless you. Again, looking forward to being with you in April. And friends, over to Bonnie Salen now with our Reset devotional.
It remains a sad mystery to this day. What happened to Patty Moriarty? I'm Bonnie Sala with Reset. In 2017, an Australian man mysteriously disappeared from his remote town of just 11 people. But when police, suspecting foul play, came to investigate, they were shocked to find that nearly every one of the 10 remaining townspeople seemed to have a long-standing dispute or grudge against the victim. It became impossible to solve the case because so many people were suspects. In a town of just 11 people, anger unchecked led to cruelty and disgust being poured into almost every interaction. It's easy to downplay the danger of anger. But Jesus said, "You have heard that our ancestors were told, 'You must not murder.' If you commit murder, you are subject to judgment. But I say, if you are even angry with someone, you are subject to judgment. If you call someone an idiot, you are in danger of being brought before the court. And if you curse someone, you are in danger of the fires of hell." Jesus spoke this way about anger because he knows where it leads. The Bible book of James puts it bluntly: human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. Our tempers, often driven by ego, can't produce the goodness God calls us to. If you frequently feel angry, there's no shame in struggling with it. But Jesus invites us to bring it to him and to reconcile with the people we feel anger toward. Left unchecked, anger develops into the poison of bitterness. Understand this, the Bible cautions. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. I'm Bonnie Sala with Reset. To read, share, or hear this again, or to find more resources like this, visit guidelines.org.
Well, thank you, Bonnie, for sharing again from God's Word. We love the Reset devotional here at Galcom. Friends, I hope you are enjoying it too every week here on the Mission Compass, and that you are going, taking advantage of the offer there that Bonnie gave at the end of the devotional, to visit their website, guidelines.org, to get more content, more resources to build you up in your Christian life. And Bonnie, you are doing this around the world. Do you have another story for us, what God is doing through the Guidelines ministry?
I sure do. We have a story that's coming to us from Russia, and our listeners may not know that in Russia, there really isn't Christian radio as we know it, but there's online radio.
Yep.
And this person says, "I listened to Guidelines online for 2 months. Since that time, my life has changed. I realized that I cannot live without faith in Jesus. I want my soul to be cleaned. Now I am ready to go to church. Thank you, friends, for your amazing programs that teach us how to receive salvation through Jesus Christ. Thank you for your love for us and your help."
Okay, like you said, you don't have traditional radio in Russia. The government controls all the media, but this is the beauty of the internet. People can find it. So do you have like a Russian website, or do people come to guidelines.org and look up their language?
No, we partner also with Far East Broadcasting Company. It's called Radio Teos there in Russia and okay. In Ukraine. And yes, they do actually, I know that they share our Guidelines program, that they do actually have a website for Reset in Russian and Ukrainian. So it's, you know, similar to getting podcasts. People listen online in just a variety of ways.
Incredible. Anywhere else where you maybe got to be a little more creative in getting the Reset devotionals out?
Well, this is an interesting story from the country of Turkey. Now, where this person lives in the far east of Turkey, near the city of Mardin, he is able to be reached by a traditional radio signal. Okay. And this gentleman is in prison. And he says, "I listen to your radio with pleasure and in peace." He says, "My brothers and sisters, I am currently in Mardin in a prison. I have been in prison for a long time. I have been listening to you for about 6 months, and you have a very good broadcast. I officially became a Christian about 4 months ago."
Praise God.
"And of course, you have a big part in this. Thank you for helping me move from darkness to light. I'm listening to your channel. I sleep peacefully and wake up peacefully. I want to get to know the Lord Jesus Christ better and walk with him."
Wow. Now, yes, there are traditional radio broadcasts in Turkey. I don't think I should name the ministry there, but they have licenses. They have to be very careful about how they broadcast, what they broadcast, how they present the gospel. But they're getting the gospel out in Turkey, officially a Muslim nation, and actually, again, the power of radio, cross borders. So if you think, if you ever look at a map, what's east of Turkey, you can see where else they're getting the gospel in. And so this is great that your content, the guidelines content, good, biblically sound, encouraging devotionals and instruction and teaching are getting to them in their heart language. This is great, Bonnie.
Well, what's really amazing about this man is that you can imagine there's probably not another follower of Jesus in that entire prison. And his boldness to make that decision and to declare it publicly in what's no doubt an antagonistic circumstance is really humbling. And it really moves us to pray for fellow believers like this.
This is great. I always appreciate when you hang around a little bit after the devotional, give us some encouraging news, some great testimonies from around the world. Friends, again, guidelines.org. Go there yourself, get the resources you need to build yourself up in the faith. Hey, if this guy in prison in the darkness, and like you said, Bonnie, probably the only believer there, the word of God can have this much of an impact on his life, imagine what it can do for you. Thank you so much, Bonnie.
Thank you, Tim.
You may be listening to us on your computer, but you can also find us on your smartphone using Spotify, iTunes, or other streaming platforms. Just go to galcom.org and choose your favorite. Make sure to subscribe, follow, and share our podcast.
Well, friend, I often say here on the Mission Compass, as we talk about Galcom's role, of course, we're Mission Compass, we talk about how you can serve in missions in any way possible, whatever your giftings and abilities are. But when we talk about radio here at Galcom, we talk about it overcoming barriers, literacy barriers, 70% of the world doesn't read, infrastructure barriers, 60% of the world doesn't have electricity into their homes, so never mind communications like computers and internet and so on. There's geopolitical barriers, just geographic difficulties getting to certain places or, you know, getting into certain countries. They're close to people. And then the workforce barrier. There's simply not enough missionaries going to places. And one country that seems to have all of these barriers, and radio is absolutely the answer, is South Sudan. And I am so pleased that we could share in a partnership, reaching the people of South Sudan with the gospel, with Andrew Brown and the team at Every Village. Andrew, great to have you back on the program.
Always enjoy being with you, Tim. Thanks so much.
You were recently there, maybe a month or so ago, back doing radio. So give us a quick update on the radio and the water work, but you were there for a bigger purpose. But, you know, kind of give us the quick rundown first.
Yeah, thanks so much. And, you know, even as you introed with some of those statistics, it's near and dear to my heart. You know, South Sudan is rated as the lowest developed nation in the world. And for all those factors, in South Sudan, 95% of the population doesn't have access to electricity. So because of that, radio really is the answer for this generation in South Sudan. There is no other answer in terms of access to the gospel and community development programs. And so we're so grateful to be in partnership with Galcom, and our radio ministry continues to just flourish in the hands of our local leaders. We have five community radio stations that broadcast to over 3 million people. And whenever we build the stations, we know we desperately need some Galcom radios to help the listeners have access to that. And so we just distributed another 7,000 radios in South Sudan recently. And so I think that takes our total to 172,000 Galcom radios all time. And, you know, we estimate about one radio reaches about 10 people in South Sudan, the average household size. And so you're talking about 1.7 million people with access to the gospel every day through one of these Galcom devices. And they just are so huge to the ministry. And I love it because our staff, they share testimonies with us regularly. And these are not just people that are passive listeners. They are active listeners in the homes, in the evenings, and in the mornings. And pastors are being equipped through preaching programs. And it's in partnership with the church where the pastors are saying, radio is making church planning easy. And so all these things is tremendous. And then along with the radio, we also work with water as such a baseline human need. And so we partner with those pastors, same pastors that are working with us in radio, or the same pastors that open doors for us in communities to provide ongoing access to safe water through a water well maintenance program that is community-based as well. And that has been so exciting to see South Sudanese communities that are equipped now with the vision, the financial resources, the technical expertise to maintain their water wells year after year. And that's what the work is all about.
You mentioned the pastors and how they're being resourced through the radio ministry. We received a special gift here at Galcom. Someone, we were working with a ministry that was doing pastor training in Africa, and they realized that after a week of pastor training, they were handing these booklets and these resources to the pastors, sending them home. But then they realized those pastors couldn't read. And so we had some people that were interested in helping us out. And so we're really proud that partners of Galcom have provided the funds for 1,000 of our, what we call our Compass Player. So you've been getting the radios, just a fixed tune, solar powered radio locked on. These ones will include an audio Bible, and you're going to do a special distribution to pastors. So they have the audio Bible in their hands. And I know we talked about radio and water, but the other passion, the other big branch of what you're doing there, you guys are doing a ton of pastor training. So I'm really glad we can kind of be a part of that now too.
Yeah, it's incredible. And I'll tell you a story that just marries those two together. One of our faithful radio listeners is a pastor in the Awil area, one of our regions of ministry. I met him in 2014. His name's Santino Aluang Aluang. And he's a blind man. He's a blind pastor. He planted a church years ago, over a decade ago in that area. And I just saw him on my most recent trip. He comes to our conferences every year, and he came again this year. I was there for 3 pastor conferences, and Santino and I visited one another, and he was so excited to tell me that he just planted a second church. So now he's overseeing 2 different churches. But the thing about Santino is he told this testimony to the pastors last year at the conference, but he got up and he shared and he thanked the radio staff. He started quoting scriptures from memory, of course, and he said, "Thank you for not only reading the Bible on air, but for reading the scripture references, the chapters and the verses, so that listeners like me can actually come to memorize and know the Word of God." And so he listens to the radio programs and then he preaches his sermon based on that. Well, with these Compass Players now, Santino is going to be one of the first ones we get them to, because now he's going to have daily access to actually just sit and listen to chapter by chapter, verse by verse, and become an expositional preacher, which is just an amazing thing. I love that.
Yeah, I've got a big, huge smile. I wish you could see it. You can't see it over the radio. But this is exactly that partnership. We were talking about those statistics. South Sudan is 3rd lowest in literacy in the world. You talked about the poverty level there. People don't have smartphones. This is the resource, the radio. These solar players are the resource that's needed there. Tell us about some more of the pastors that you had at your pastor's training. You talked about Santino, but how many were there?
Yeah, so we had 3 pastor conferences. We have 3 base radio stations, and we have an annual conference where pastors travel sometimes 50, 60 miles away. So, you know, you can imagine the average day you're walking maybe 20 miles, maybe a little bit longer.
Not me.
But still, some are coming for even 3 days walking. And in Santino's case, we were able to get him a bicycle a couple of years ago. You know, he's a blind man, so he would sit on the bicycle and somebody else just pushed the bicycle. But it's been a huge blessing to him. But that's the type of commitment that these pastors go through to come to these conferences. And at these 3 pastor conferences, from one station to the next, we had 1,488 pastors in attendance. And one of the things that I love most is that we not only register them by name, but also by their church, local church. And we had 895 individual churches represented at these pastor conferences. And Tim, you and I were talking before we got on air, just about almost 900 churches are now participating. And this is across all the different denominations. That's something I've loved seeing in a war-torn nation that has been find so many different ways to be divided. The fact that we're able to bring Catholic and Protestant all along under the same proverbial roof and share a vision of reaching their nation for Christ, worshiping together with one song and one voice, it has such an impact in this nation. And we have bishops and other church leaders that get up and they thank us year after year. They say, "Thank you. You're the only ones that are bringing us together in a way like this. We've never been brought together or had a common vision across churches before." And so it's a real joy. These conferences have just continued to grow through the years. And this year, I think this was maybe our 7th year to these conferences, we've also been able to go deeper and deeper in topic each year. You know, now these are long-term relationships. I see the same men year after year, and we get to talk together and laugh together. Well, it means you can go deeper as well. So we cover a whole slew of different topics. Well, this year we decided to focus our conferences on marriage and family. And so we spent a lot of time talking about cultural practices of marriage, polygamy and dowry payments, and just the identity of husbands and wives and how to parent your children in this society. And these are topics that go right to the core of society. And one of the things that I loved most in Tonj, this was our 2nd pastor conference. There were 2-day conferences, and we had a bishop who came the first day at the conference, and he sat on the front row. Well, the 2nd day, I noticed that he was there again, but I noticed there was a lady sitting next to him. Well, at the end of the day, we always give opportunity for people to get up and share testimonies. And this lady who was sitting next to him got up and shared, and she was his wife. And she shared with the whole group. She said after the first day, her husband was so impacted by the topic on marriage that he went home and he asked her, he said, "I really think it would be great if we could come together tomorrow so we can learn together as a husband and wife." Now, again, for many of us in the Western world, that might not sound like a big deal. That is unheard of in South Sudan culture. Huh. Men and women don't really spend time together publicly. And the fact that a bishop would go home and care about his wife that much, still want to learn together in marriage. We were talking about the two becoming one in marriage and the biblical concept and basis for marriage. It was just a beautiful thing. And she said, "I'm so happy that he brought me today because I learned so much about what it means to be a biblical wife and have a biblical marriage." And so, I mean, those are just some of the stories that I love.
Well, friend, we are at the end of the program today. We'll continue this conversation next week on Mission Compass, your guide to the Great Commission. There are many ways to partner with us. To find out more, visit our website at galcom.org. That's Galcom, spelled GALCOM.org. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and YouTube. I'm Ron Harris. Thanks for joining us today on Mission Compass, a radio ministry of Galcom International.
If you enjoyed this podcast, we upload a new episode every Monday. You can also find us on the radio or other streaming platforms. We have a list on our website. Make sure to subscribe, follow, and share our podcast. Please rate this episode and leave a review. We would love to hear back from you. And we also want to know where you're listening from. So click Mission Compass on our website, tell us, and we'll send you Galcom's devotional, 30 Days of Faith.